And we're going to read God's precious word every week. And thank you for Janet for reading that. The very last verse is very significant. This is the beginning of miracles that Jesus did to show forth his glory. It wasn't to show forth. Wasn't to show forth his latest trick, but it's to show forth the glory of God. And this morning we look at someone who was invited to a wedding. One of the most important days of your life. And one that obviously is fantastic for the bride and bridegroom and for those who were invited, but this wedding turned out to be, or could have turned out to be, a disaster. But Jesus entered the situation. Can I say that Jesus is more than match for every situation which we come across? Because Jesus is the master of quality. Only Jesus. I was reading Billy Graham's daughter's book this week, Anne Graham Lotz, and she was telling the story of how she was married very young, and she says obviously the marriage started to go seriously wrong, and she was saying that what could she do in that situation, and she got on her knees. And she said to God, in that situation, what do you want me to do? And Jesus said, invite me into that situation. And she invited Jesus into that situation. And over a period of months, God was able to work a work. And they have now three fantastic children. They're all grown up now. And they're all serving the Lord. And they're all loving the Lord. But you see, when her marriage was beginning to fade, she knew what to do. She knew Jesus was more than match for every situation. She didn't run to her father, Billy Graham, the great evangelist. She ran to the only person who she knew could alter her situation in life, and that is Jesus Christ. And I have to keep saying it to you, Jesus is more than match for every situation you find yourself in. And she openly shares in that book, that chapter, something of God's amazing grace. And the key statement, as we know, is this, is that in verse 5, his mother said to his servants, whatever he says unto you, do it. This is the key. This is the key for life in itself. Whatever Jesus says unto you, do it. And I want to tell you this morning, Jesus is saying unto us this morning, for those of you, examine me if you don't know me. Jesus is claiming to be the Son of God this morning. Jesus Christ is claiming to be the only way of salvation this morning. And he impresses upon you that he's able to change our lives and change our situations. But there was two things that were needed. And one is in verse 5, and that was obedience. And the second one was faith. And I want to, in a few moments, tell you the story, not from the wedding prospect, but from the servant's perspective. Because God requires obedience and faith, even when it doesn't make sense. Even when it doesn't make sense. I believe God will call some of you people to do some things that doesn't make sense. It won't be logical to you. It won't be rational. A great cricketer called C.T. Stubbs, one of the greatest cricketers, gave up his title because he was a title. But he gave it up. Because he heard the voice of God calling him to be a missionary. He gave up his cricket. He gave up his title. He gave up his finance. He gave up his wealth and everything. And he left everything and went to follow Jesus because Jesus called him into a missionary field. It didn't make sense. To pour water out to the host of a wedding did not make sense. I want you to think about this because I'm taking it from the servant's point of view. There is a bucket of water, and Jesus says to them, pour that bucket of water out and give it to drink to the people at that wedding. It did not make sense. But they were rewarded. They were rewarded. You see, when you obey God, God rewards you. God blesses you. That's when God says about tithing, and we don't like the word, but when God says we should bring this into our storehouse, we do it. When we obey Him, we get blessed. When we give Him our time, God blesses us. When we give Him our talent, God blesses us. I finally had a letter this morning from the builder, and we've now finally agreed the price. The building work will start on July the 15th, which means we only have a short time to clear that storehouse up. And at the back of the church on the wall, Katie has put a timetable for days that perhaps you could come and help us. Now, I know for some of you that will be a sacrifice. But I believe God's calling us. He has raised the money through the generosity of you people. God has raised the funds for this project. I believe this is God's project. We've prayed for this for over 18 months. But we need to clear the storehouse up. And so we've asked you to put your name on the back as you go out this morning. Maybe you could give us an hour. Maybe you can give us half an hour. Just to come and help us to clean. Starting from Tuesday next week, not this week coming, but Wednesday the week after, it's our last Tots and Toddlers, we will then be blitzing this place. We have to have that place cleared. It's going to demand our time. But anything we do for God as a sacrifice, I believe God will bless. And thirdly, those people were to receive what God always wanted man to receive. Revelation. They saw water turned into wine. There was a reaction. And there was a result. And Janet said it in verse 11 of that passage. What revelation, what reaction, and what the result was. I want to tell you something. God says it is impossible to believe in God unless we have faith. I don't know where your faith is this morning. I don't know why you place your faith this morning. What is faith? I believe faith is believing in something that God has said, which has not yet come to pass, but we know will come to pass. I don't believe in blind faith. But I believe if God says something to us, and we do not yet see the results of that, but we stand by faith. For instance, the second coming of Jesus has not yet arisen. But I believe Jesus is coming again. Amen. But I haven't seen that out in action. But my faith is firmly believed that Jesus is coming again. And I believe one day I'll be walking down the street and suddenly I'm going to be zapped. And in the twinkling of an eye, I will have gone. And millions of others. I believe that. I don't believe that's blind faith. I believe that's true because God, I believe, has said that, and therefore I'm hanging my hat on it. But I haven't yet seen it come to pass. You see, it says the mother of Jesus was there. Some believe that Mary was a relative of this wedding couple. The Bible doesn't say that. Some believe she was there to help. And that's why she was able to speak to the servants. Some say it was even her daughter. Whatever. The Bible isn't clear. We just know that Mary and Jesus were all invited to the wedding. Friend, have you invited Jesus into your wedding? Have you invited Jesus into your life? The most important thing was not the wedding, it was the person you invite into the wedding. And that was the first key. And if you need a miracle in our marriage, if you need a miracle in your job, if you need a miracle in your children, and if you need a miracle in your friendships or your neighbors, you need to ask Jesus into those situations. And I believe Jesus moves in situations when we invite him in. I believe he's the most friendliest person you can meet. I believe if you invite Jesus into every situation, he's such a lovely person, he will automatically come. You see, when the problem arose, Mary knew who to go to. Now, Mary had never seen Jesus do a miracle. Now, I believe that Mary saw something in Jesus which was totally unique. That I do admit. But I know there was something about Jesus that Mary watched from the day that he was born till he was 30 years of age, which made her immediately go to Jesus and say, "We've got a problem. We need help." And I wonder if that's our first stop and call. I wonder if we know Jesus that well, that we know that he's more than match for every situation. I wonder, though, seriously, whether we do. You see, faith in Mary was the key. She'd watched him. She'd spent quality time with him. And I want to say, your faith will grow when there's more time you spend with Jesus. It is the key to success. If you've got a 2-minute day with Jesus, I don't believe you'll ever empower what God wants to empower into us. I believe time needs to be spent. And I believe the more time we do, the more Jesus will make sense. The more Jesus will make sense. I believe that faith is the key. You know, there was a guy who was fishing. I won't mention his name. But he took along his grandson. And as they were sitting in the back, his grandson said about, "Why don't we go into church?" And the fisherman wasn't really keen to go into church. But to appease his grandson, he went into church. And when the collection came, he gave his grandson 10p. And he dropped the 10p into the plate. And when they went back out to do some fishing in the afternoon, the grandfather said to the grandson, "Well, that was a boring meeting. The songs were rubbish. The sermon was terrible. The fellowship was awful." And the little boy turned around and said, "Well, I thought it was a fantastic service for 10p. What you give is what you receive. I'm sorry. What you give is what you receive. And I believe faith in Jesus is the key to unlocking your door. If Jesus says something, take it as gospel. Take him at his word and apply it to your life. What is your faith this morning? I'm leaving it with you. You may say that I've never investigated Jesus before. That's okay. You've an opportunity to do so. We'll hopefully start an alpha course. I ask you just to examine God for who he is. I want to tell you that Satan believes in God. The devil believes in God. But he's in hell this morning. The word believe, you see, is not a belief that comes from our head. It comes from our heart. See, if someone says they love you, they can say that all day. An old guy whose wife said to him, "Listen," his wife said, "Do you love me?" He said, "Yes, I love you." She said, "Do you really love me?" He said, "Yes." He says, "I told you that on our wedding day 20 years ago. And if it changes, I'll let you know." She wouldn't really know whether she loved him, would you? You see, if she'd said to him, "Do you really love me?" And he said, "I love everybody." That's not the answer she's looking for, is it? Is it? When Sandra says to David, "David, do you love me?" And David says, "I love everybody." He better duck. He's absolutely, isn't it? What Sandra wants him to say, take this down, David, is, "Sandra, your eyes are beautiful. They sparkle like the sea." Oh, I could go on. You see, it's action, isn't it? It's action, isn't it? If someone says they're a born-again Christian, and they're living a life totally opposite to what the Bible has to say. I have to say, there's grave doubts. Isn't there? You see, whatever he says unto you, do it. If Jesus says you need to come unto me because I'm the only way I can give you a relationship with God, you can believe that all day. But if you never make that step of asking and inviting him, then you've never made that step. All you've done is believe. I believe there's something fundamentally more than just the word believe that makes us born again. I believe it's an action which says, not only do I believe that, but I'm about to take that and rely upon it and adhere to it and make it my foundation and make it my foundation. I believe I'm born again simply because I've invited Jesus into my heart all those many years ago, and now I've surrendered my life to him. I believe to be a Christian is someone who has surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. I believe it's someone who says that whatever you say unto me, I'll do it. I believe it's saying that I no longer claim any rights of my life, but I've handed them over to you, believing that you know what's best for my life. Mary knew what was the best for the situation in which she had encountered. Time is running on, so let's bring something into a conclusion. Not only did they need faith, but they needed obedience. The servants took a great risk. You see, if that water had remained water, they could have been sacked on the spot. Second of all, they would have been humiliated on the spot. Thirdly, the bride and bridegroom would have been humiliated on the spot. Do you know that that bride and bridegroom could never have gone back to that village again because they'd run out of wine? Not because wine was that important. It was because they had failed to make provision for the guests. And in the Middle East, it is days and days of wedding. And your job is to make sure that there is enough food and there is enough drink. We don't know why this didn't work out. We don't know why some people come to the wedding who weren't invited. Therefore, there was more people than there was enough food and drink. I don't know. I once went to a wedding, in all seriousness. I went to a wedding and it was a buffet. And we were the last on the table. And when we got there, there was nothing. Seriously, the bridegroom's father came up to me and he said, I can only apologize to you, Edward. He was a member of my church. He said, what can I say to you? He said, we provided enough food, but some people had piled up. Do you know what I mean? They must have thought they were one of these dudes, they can go back and have as much, and they were laden with food. And when we got there, in all seriousness, there were scraps left. He had provided, but people had just gone totally berserk. So I think we were the first to get the desserts. But we were gracious. We made sure there was room left. Now, I don't know what happened here, whether that was the same principle. This I do know. Here was a situation where a married couple could never again go back to the village in which they were born because the embarrassment would have been too great. I want you to notice the servants never said to Jesus either, don't take me for a fool. Do you think I'm stupid? I can see that's water. We don't know whether they'd ever seen Jesus before, do we? It might have been their first encounter of Jesus. He certainly, his fame wasn't known abroad because no one had done a miracle yet. So this was just a guy who walked in. And let me ask you, if some guy walked in and asked every one of you, how many of you put your hand up would have taken that water and poured it out to the guests? That took faith and it took obedience. They took a huge risk. Let me finish almost. Blondin. Did anybody remember Blondin? Well, what he used to do is he used to tie a rope from one end of the Niagara Falls to the other. And he used to have a tightrope. And he used to do this, and he would walk, and down below was Niagara Falls. And he would walk along the tightrope, then he would jump like this, and he would go like this. And he said to the people one day, the crowds, as they were applauding, "Do you believe that I could carry someone on my shoulders and do exactly the same?" And they all shouted, "Yes, we do." So he said, "Volunteers." It's a true story. When he looked round, there were no volunteers. They believed. They believed. "Worse, you can do it." "Well, hop on board." Rain check. I keep going back to it. So many people in this world say, "Well, I believe in Jesus." I said, "Have you put your faith in him? Are you daily living for him? Has he changed your life? Do you now have a fresh calling? Because Jesus is more than match for any situation. And it's the same for us." James says, "Show me your faith without works, and it's dead. And it's dead." I want to quickly go on because we finally want to finish. Are we willing to take the risk he asks us? And in conclusion, Jesus said to these people, "Go and do what I've said." They poured the water out, and as Janet read, so great was this wine that he was actually called the head of the banquet feast, the man in charge of the wedding, called out to the servants and said, "Looken, generally we keep the worst till last. So no one knows much difference. But you have kept the best till last." Their faith and what Jesus said, their obedience to God's word, meant that those people at that wedding received the best blessing they could ever receive. And I believe that's the same with our lives. If you want real blessing this morning, you see, the Bible says this in verse 11. "And this was the first miracle that Jesus did, and his disciples believed in him." In other words, his disciples from that moment didn't believe by head. They adhered to everything that Jesus had said. They relied upon him from that day. They were totally committed to his cause. Jeremiah 42 says this: "If we obey God, everything will turn out well for us." And I believe if you want real blessing, if you want to know quality of life, Jeremiah 42 verse 6 is something you should know. If you obey Jesus, everything will turn out well for you. It has been a major week for me in many senses. Had a word of prophecy this morning. I can only keep going. I can only plow the field that God has given me to plow. Because in the end of the day, if I obey him, I know everything will turn out well. Because he is a God who wants to bless. He's a God who wants to pour out upon us. I can only invite you this morning, if you want quality of life, if you want the best you can get, I can only point you to Jesus. I can do no more than that. But please investigate him. Don't just believe in your head. Investigate what I'm saying this morning. Invite Jesus into your life, into your situations, into everything that you do day by day. And you will see that Jesus will come in. Because he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. I will sup with him." Friend, you can know quality of life this morning. It's all found in Jesus. Father, we thank you that these servants obeyed. And they carried out what you asked them to do. And everyone received such a blessing that day. I pray, Father, we will be the same. We will do what Jesus says. And we will obey him. In Jesus' name, amen.